And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch McConnell.
I'm your host, Mitch McConnell.
Are you doing an impression of Mitch McConnell or Jim Ross?
Both. They're the same person. People forget that. Let's start with that kind of day. Did you get a chance to watch Raw 25?
I was really disappointed it didn't open with, like, Vince McMahon in a bad, weird tuxedo going, "Welcome to Monday Night."
What? One of the greatest troll jobs in WWE history was that show.
Oh. Yeah, they took their most fervent fans willing to spend the absolute most money and completely fucked up for
which
no
is
reason.
Hilarious, though, when you, like, consider who those people are on a personal level. Like, Frank the Clown. Wait, did you see that tweet that guy made?
That tweet was so pathetic. This was unacceptable. I hope
next
you do
time
better next
not
time. Like, what the hell, you fucking battered wife? Like, why would there be a next time? Like, any sane person was be, well, that's the last time I give you assholes money. I gave you $800 and you...
Well, they got to, it was a meet and greet. They got to do that.
But they made them turn around and watch a monitor with no sound for 3 hours. A monitor, not multiple screens. A screen.
Because it had to be old school. And it was old school in a way, because you haven't seen carny tactics like that in decades, Dan.
Wait, by decades, you mean every single year at WrestleMania when they put some ridiculous setup that blocks the ring for half the
that's
ground?
That's only the F4W fan base that ends up behind those seats. You know, how about this year, though, with New Orleans in an arena? So, oh, I guess you still would, though. Damn.
I mean, they don't need to have they only need the things up when it's outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
Because they put the canopy over
it
starts raining.
Yeah, it protect it from rain.
You know, in the event of rain, you have to have some kind of canopy so that the boys aren't getting rained on.
Because
as we all know, wrestle boys, if they get rained on, they melt
like... It's like baseball. You can't...
Well, they melt like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah.
Or East,
baseball players
or whoever,
do the same thing.
Whoever is wicked in that thing. I'm not sure.
That was not a fun show, I will say. But I...
Wicked? Or WWE Raw 25.
But man, people in line were really mad about that.
The opening was great.
Yeah, like, there were fun parts. It's just like, yeah, you were dumb and you watched the wrestling matches. That was the dumbest thing you could have done. That show should have been 3 hours of just skits.
They got, like, one of their highest audiences in, like, 15 years to see, like, this show that almost universally was despised.
That was, like, yeah, like, overrun. Like, they had to rush the ending, clearly.
Undertaker appeared to forget what he was supposed to say and just started meandering.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never got the point of that promo. Was he retiring?
I think it was him putting out a cry for help. Begging people not to bring him back anymore because clearly his brain don't work no more.
No, and he's in a wig.
I'm always weirded out by when Undertaker shows up in a wig. It's like, okay, we get it. You don't have long hair anymore. Like, the bald thing's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so just a weird show overall. But let's jump to this
thing. That just tells you that he's so over being in WWE... that he's not even interested in shaving his hair into, like, a mohawk. It's literally just, I'm going to show up in my regular hair and you just put a wig on me.
Because he got punked up by LeBron. That probably killed his confidence when LeBron was like, nah.
I'm not
going to take my picture with you.
I'm not taking a picture. Like, they sent him, that might be why Undertaker, like, screwed up their finish to, like, the Shane thing. Because he was like, you embarrassed me. I was shamed by this company for the last time.
Yeah. But you know who was excited to run and meet him? Kevin Love. And maybe that's why everyone hates Kevin Love.
Yeah, he couldn't turn down meeting The Undertaker. I bet Kevin Love didn't like wrestling. He's from Portland. Yeah.
He's the one who, like, had to buy belts and everything when they won the championship.
Mm. So you a big fan of Lynn?
Really excited.
Is he a big fan of the grappler? Beat me if you can!
Yeah. But speaking of Kevin Love, speaking of LeBron, I guess let's just jump to this, because we got a lot of NBA news here, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll
have to work our way through. Because what a week. A real WCW 2000 kind of week. Literally a million things happen. Let's start with this, though. The Cavs get blown out on Saturday by the Thunder. Kevin Love leaves the game early because he's sick. Misses practice on Sunday because he's sick. At a team meeting, was called out apparently by Isaiah Thomas. A team meeting that apparently did not fix any problems. Maybe made more.
What's so baffling to me is, like, who the fuck is Isaiah Thomas to be calling out anybody? I mean, yeah. I love getting ready to say this, because as the world's biggest Kevin Love stan, motherfucker, I got a ring. You ain't done shit. Your big accomplishment is that your former team was gonna, like, play you a video. Like, that's what you've done in the league. And now you're on a new team, and you're sucking
everything. And he ruined your new team.
You're the worst player on your new team this year.
Yeah.
Like, how about you shut the fuck up?
Because once Thomas came back, like, the Cavs fell off a cliff really quick. Because remember, like, right before Christmas, they looked like, you know, at least top three in the NBA,
Before Isaiah Thomas came back, they looked like typical, hey, the Cavs are going to be there come playoff time. They'll get, like, a top three seed coasting, you know, in the regular season.
And then LeBron will turn it on, and it'll all make sense. And work.
But, like, now they you add like, a oh, guy shit, they're going to have to fight to get, like, the four seed if this keeps up.
Yeah.
Like, this, and you add a guy
who's a borderline all-star in the East, and you think that would make you better, but it's made them worse. They're now what? I know they're negative and differential overall for their team now in their net rating. But what was it? Are they last in D? I think they are. Like, when that starting lineup's on the court, they're one of the worst teams in the NBA. One of the worst, you know, fives.
Well, one of the really jarring things is, like, they had a game a couple nights ago where, like, Isaiah Thomas had, like, a plus-minus of minus 28. Like, dude.
Yeah.
But just go home at that point.
It's not working. So, looks like the Cavs are going to make a move, but do they make a big move? Are you moving Love or Isaiah here? Or you make that big
splash? Well, you can't move Isaiah because nobody would give you anything for Isaiah right now.
Yeah.
So if you're moving anybody, it kind of has to be Love because he does have the back. Like, somebody would probably give you something for Love.
Yeah, because it looks like they're going to move probably Shumpert and Fry for George Hill. They'll probably throw in a second rounder, I think, maybe, or that, or like maybe their own first rounder. And adding George Hill, like, that's a good fit for the Cavs. He'll make a good point guard. But the issue is, keep playing Isaiah out there with those guys, and it's not working.
And it's also, like, the other thing is, like, why did they talk Derrick Rose into rejoining the team? Derrick Rose is a corpse.
Yeah.
Like, Derrick Rose isn't any good. Derrick Rose shouldn't be playing basketball anymore. He's bad at it.
But he has to, because he needs that money.
That's good for him. If you're a team and he was willing to, like, commit insubordination and give you an excuse to void his contract, you take that, like, sick, like, you'd like to go home, eh? Well, we're happy to oblige you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't talk him back onto your team. Like, that's insanity.
And that's the other weird issue with this team. Like, you let, you know, Rose get away with that. Love, you know, misses a practice, everyone gets mad at him. There's no leadership, to me, at least on the front office side. I think that's for sure. And you can go through and say, is LeBron culpable in this? Maybe a little bit, but, like, to me, that's on the front office to be able to handle what comes with LeBron.
Well, we were talking about something, you know, off-share.
You don't just get LeBron and it's just all going to work, you know, all peachy. That's not how it works when you get a superstar of that caliber.
One of the things we were talking about in the pre-show is that the thing I do blame LeBron for, and it's a point you made, so I want to give you credit for it, is that, like, that team has now splintered in the new guys versus the guys who've been there.
Yeah, I got that point from someone else. But that's what, yeah. That's
but, like, yeah, but the big thing is the reason why is that they're looking at LeBron and he's already got, like, a foot and a half out the door, clearly has checked out, isn't really interested in what these guys are doing.
He may have checked out, too, and they just gave away Kyrie for just Isaiah Thomas and a draft pick. I mean, that sounds nice to fans and, you know, other people, but LeBron, that draft pick's not played with you right now. He's not even going to be, like, reliable for another 2 years. I mean, LeBron's got, what, 5 years left of his prime?
That may be stretching.
Yeah. And that draft pick means shit if you're LeBron James. Unless it gets you somebody, it's not worth it. And then you're in this weird situation for the Cavs where your star player wants you to get rid of this pick, but you kind of want to keep it because this is a good draft class. And even though you're picking at maybe 9 with that Nets pick, it's still going to be a guy. Probably a starter, you know. So, just a bad situation. Like, I'm not sure how this happened, but I think you're paying for the sins of selling all out to get that championship, you know, 2 years ago. And was it worth it? Hell yeah.
Yeah, you got a title. I think the bigger issue is that when, like some of the veterans who were there, like, you know, Richard Jefferson, a lot of people talk about them losing him. That's been a big loss in the locker
room. I think it is, because, like, someone else point out today with them, they don't look like they're having fun anymore.
But, like, okay, they lost Richard Jefferson and they replaced him with Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade is a delusional guy who still thinks he's, like, as good as he was when he was 26.
And he's kind of LeBron's yes man.
And he's a dick. Yeah. Like, Dwayne Wade has always been a dick. Like, they replaced, like, guys who've been in the league a long time and have, you know, been comfortable as role players with former stars who are now going to be role players. And that's not... That's
we
not
shot
really
shook Derrick
mix.
Rose to where it's like checking into the mental hospital. Like, that's his confidence is so shot.
I mean, yeah, like it's difficult for guys like Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose to adjust to the reality of what they are at their age. Yeah. Instead of go get me a guy who's been a role player for a long time and has always been kind of comfortable with it.
They've kind of done the opposite of what kind of Carmelo has now done with the Thunder, where like you see he's kind of accepted he's the third guy, he's a role player more so now. And it's made the Thunder so much better. Like, that's the guy you wouldn't have thought would do something like that. But, he did it.
I think part of it is that they've also convinced Carmelo that this might just be a one-year thing. Like, Paul George
I think he knows
suddenly
it's a
one-year
thing. You never know. You catch lightning in the bottle in the playoffs. Curry twists his ankle. Maybe you win a ring, finally, Melo. You never know.
Hey, he's got a national championship ring.
And multiple Olympic gold medals, too.
You cannot take away that Syracuse championship. I think he got Boeheim his only title, didn't he?
Yeah, isn't that his only... Did he win one in the 80s? I thought
he won
one
in definitely
like
didn't win one until Carmelo. I'm trying to remember if Syracuse won again.
Oh, with that, with Flynn?
I don't remember if they did or not.
When they had, like, wasn't it Nakamura? Like,
that guy was on Carmelo's team.
Oh, he was, okay.
Yeah, he was the point guard on that team.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura was point guard for the Syracuse. I don't know if they were Orange Men anymore. Like, I don't remember when they became just Orange.
They were the Yellow Men.
Well, that's what they were. That's what they were back in the 1800s, when it was very cool to be in Yellowface. You know, to do magic tricks and such.
When you could... Back before the SJWs ruined college. Where's that? Will we get that take if all the colleges were, like, getting rid of the Indian mascots now?
Obviously,
you think, like, that'd be like a Clay Travis?
What are you saying? Of course we would. This website
would
be
like a big
the
thing
take.
For Clay Travis, right?
Fucking SJWs.
The damn SJWs. We're ruining everything. Enzo Amore fired unfairly.
I heard that we're also killing Costco today. I didn't read the article, but apparently we are.
How?
We're not going to Costco enough.
Oh,
millennials aren't shopping in bulk enough.
Well, we should go to Costco, to be fair.
Yeah, they got wine.
And that's what all millennials love. More importantly, they pay their employees well. Millennials should go to Costco because, A... Free lunch right there. The samples everywhere. You got that. You can get a hot dog and a drink for what? $1.50?
I have no idea. I live in the South.
We've got a Costco here in Atlanta, in the South.
Yeah, I'm not sure I really call it Atlanta the South anymore.
Literally the crown jewel of the South.
Nah, y'all have a Costco. That means you're Yankees.
I'm sure Charlotte has a Costco.
I'm not sure. We're Sam's Club people.
Not anymore. They all closed.
That's true. The Sam's Club down the street from me closed. Yeah. So now...
Maybe you'll get a Costco.
That was like
it's a lot better.
There was like genuine horror when that Sam's closed. Like people
Costco
like,
doesn't have that smell that Sam's Club kind of has when you walk. You know, like that weird, like, rubbery...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the tire department, isn't it?
I guess that's what it's from. I assumed it was something. I didn't know what.
I did assume it was something.
It was something. But Costco is great. Like I said, free samples, cheap lunch. There's no reason for millennials not to shop at
the closed sales.
Besides the fact that like you need to have like a pay a fee to get in. That's the ridiculous part. A membership?
I mean, that's the whole gimmick. It's a membership warehouse.
But why?
Because that's how they make their money, to sell shit cheap to you.
Oh, I see. That's how you do it. you pay month? It's like a yearly thing, though, right?
I don't know how Costco does it. Sam's is yearly.
Yeah, because like, the issue with Sam's used to be you had to like, own a business or something.
Originally, yeah. But then they made it was like remember with Facebook you had to have a college email and then they just kept
you had to be in college and they expanded it to high school.
But then
if
you just told them you were in college, originally you had to have a college email and then it was like, well, if you just said you were in college, and then they just said, all right, anybody can be in it.
Everyone's in.
But there was that point in the middle where it was like, well, you gotta put in there that you're in a college.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did that. In fact, that would have been like 06, 05.
See, I was on the last train out of the last helicopter out of MySpace.
It would be a helicopter out of there.
Well, I say that, but like if you're non-white, MySpace was still going strong much longer.
Oh. It was like the number one destination for rap. It was the SoundCloud of its day. And you could play like games on MySpace. MySpace was like the worst and the best of the internet. All like,
what I do miss about MySpace, and it's the thing that people did also hate about MySpace, is that when you went to an individual's MySpace page, you really knew what kind of person they were.
Yeah.
Because like they had their auto-starting music, which you could not avoid. They had their weird, like, gifts in the corner of things. They had their blingies. Nobody remembers blingies, but I will.
You could put, like, Flash games on there,
like you could,
I think, by the end.
You could put all kinds of, like, bullshit code on there that really...
That's what Facebook's gonna be. I think Facebook will just be MySpace eventually.
But it's just gonna be, like, it's just gonna be gifts of, like, your grandmother, like, going tisk-tisk at, you know... A black person.
Well, you know, like, everyone bitches that, like, oh, Twitter and Instagram are just becoming Facebook. But the real end goal is you just become MySpace at the end.
What was that one that was before MySpace that I was apparently too young
Friendster?
To be on? Yeah, I don't know what Friendster was. I only know what Friendster is because after it became, like, a running joke.
Yeah.
Like, once MySpace
wasn't
died.
Friendster, like, the one, though, like, in Australia, say, going strong for, like, another, like, 2 years?
That is the weird thing about, like, Windows Messenger. Like, that never got on in America. AOL always stomped.
No, but, like, as a kid online, I knew so many fucking Brits that were on MSN Messenger.
Yeah. Yeah. Every European and Australian was on
AOL.
Windows Messenger.
Yeah. Windows Messenger was the shit, though, Dan, because you could change your display name.
Well, like no, Twitter the thing that made, and the other thing that made Windows Messenger great is you could send little clips of sound.
Yeah.
So it's like
you could voice chat too.
Yeah, you could voice chat before you could on AOL, but you could also like record like a drop basically and like in the middle of a conversation
files.
Just like drop a thing down on them.
And you could send files. So it's like, oh,
here's
the paper.
Yeah,
here's a
virus.
Song. Yeah, here's the virus.
Here's a song I like. I think it's cool. Why don't you listen to it, too?
Yeah. And you could do away messages. Just like AIM. MSN Messenger was the shit, Dan.
AIM was terrible.
Better than ICQ. I put MSN number one.
See, I don't know what ICQ was. I just always saw that.
Didn't even have you had to have, like, a number to find the person.
Only an absolute nerd probably used ICQ.
No, I used it in the early days of my onlining. Right around the time I hit puberty. I got really fat for some reason. Maybe because I was on ICQ all day.
Conversing with other numbers in all binary.
Yes.
1100011100100.
ICQ, but I'd say ICQ last. Was there another? There's another messenger service I'm forgetting. Yahoo Messenger.
Yahoo Messenger was terrible. Nobody liked it. Nobody used it.
No one used it.
The big change in my life was when I discovered Trillion. Because
that was the one that lets you use everything. Right?
Yeah, that was the one where you could just like input all your different ones in and then use that one service. So yeah. You could keep up with your Windows people, you could keep up with your AOL people.
Yeah, and
people.
Just one convenient window. I missed that. I guess that's kind of what Facebook is now, though. It kind of
well,
is
that's just... kind of what, like, GChat became, though, too.
Yeah. Remember, like, the fun robots on AOL Instant Messenger? Like,
I do not remember.
Smarter or something?
See, I never... Here's the big fun fact. I never used AOL's app. Like, even when I got an AOL thing, I always... Like, by the time I jumped on AOL, I was using Trojan.
Hmm.
So I never saw what their app looked like. Like, I had people always make jokes about, oh, you're a door knocking or a door closing or whatever. And I was like, ah, okay, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, someone went offline. It's a lot of fun. I thought AOL's Messenger was, like, the place to get up on the school gossip, though. That's where you got the deets, if you went in. So I guess that's what Facebook is now, though, I guess. Isn't it all just don't we all kind of grow up the same?
Now the kids are all, like, the kids do all their gossip on Snapchat.
Oh, that's right. But yeah, same, but, like, kids before them used Facebook. Like, a kid 4 years
younger than
me.
I mean, I was right there at that peak of, like, young people using Facebook. And I really don't feel like Facebook was the thing young people, because by the time... Young
like
people
for
started
messaging,
using
though.
It. Maybe the but see, I don't think they do though. I think they use stuff, other stuff,
like WhatsApp or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
And like, who knows? Like, the
we need to
all...
get we need to get a Generation Z on here and break it down for us. What's the hot gossip? What are the kids doing now? How are you talking?
Yeah, how do you kids like talk about who got pregnant and got an abortion?
Like, they don't even say. They just do Tide Pods. And send emojis, ironically.
Like, what do y'all do it for now that there's no Vines?
Bring back Vine. I thought Vine was coming back. What happened to that?
Didn't they sell it to the... did
they
Twitter
sold
it sell
to Twitter,
it to
the creator got mad. He was going to bring it back.
Yeah.
Like, it's Vine 2 or something.
I mean, it seems weird that Twitter couldn't make Vine work as an idea. Or spin it off to somebody who could.
Because they didn't understand, because it was like mostly like black people. And they didn't understand, like, how to market to that, basically, I guess.
Twitter doesn't know how to market to anybody except Nazis.
That's true. Twitter's just a really dumb company.
Like, they're
it just sucks because, like, their idea was great because it's just a big message board.
But they really have no idea how to make any money off of it. Like, the president of the United States uses it as his primary tool to communicate with America, and they still don't know how to turn a profit off that.
Post-capitalism, baby.
Like,
there's no way for anyone to make money.
Like, if you can't make money when the President of the United States is endorsing your company as, like, the best way to speak to his adoring fans, then, like, you probably should, like, give
but
up.
But how do
business.
You make money from Twitter besides, like, ads? Does make money?
Facebook makes more money than God, but they do it by selling all your information you give them.
Yeah, couldn't Twitter just do that?
See, but people don't really give Twitter, like, people don't really
do
give
location.
Twitter information, though. It's not like they put in, these are my
likes
like,
and like, you don't have,
likes.
Like, your life. But, like, it knows, like, what you're following. You think there's an algorithm.
Yeah, but, like, people follow, like, weird shit on Twitter that's not
that's
necessarily
true.
What they enjoy. Like,
what
you
they're
know.
Into.
Like, I follow Matt
that's
Iglesias.
The,
like, you know,
yeah,
we all
the
do
the issue
things.
With Twitter is everyone on it's, like, batshit crazy.
And stalking
like,
people
us.
They hate.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I noticed I haven't been on Twitter as much lately, and I feel so much... Like, now I get these people that were like, I'm so happy I'm off Twitter. And now I kind of get it. Like, oh, life is better. But then, like, NBA trade deadline rumors happened, and you're like, you're stuck on Twitter for, like, the next, you know, 2 weeks. Waiting for that Waj ball. Like, maybe it's time to put Waj on a notification alert for his tweets.
Sure.
Yeah, that's always annoying, though, when you forget, like, a few weeks later, like, either after free agency or after the deadline, and, like, you're getting, like, random tweets from Waj about, like, his podcast or something. It's like, man.
That you absolutely do not give a single shit about.
Well, actually, I listened to it the other day. It wasn't bad. I think he had Jalen Rose on there, so it's just, like, your typical ESPN bullshit interview.
Man, Jalen Rose. Does that guy
but, like...
Does that guy send Bill,
about, like,
Bill Simmons, like, a Christmas card every week?
Yeah.
Because, like, Bill Simmons single-handedly got him on TV. No, and then Bill got fired, and he stuck around.
He didn't. Jalen, even when he was younger, when he was still in the NBA, he started with the Best Damn Sports Show. He was like a correspondent on there and came there in the offseason.
Yeah, but like he wasn't cracking ESPN. Like
not ESPN, but like he was nipping there.
No, but he was like never going to get on TV, and then like he was Simmons' guy, and so Simmons got him on the NBA Countdown show to replace Magic Johnson when he really shouldn't have been on that show. Like as far as like where he
neither should Magic to be.
Magic was terrible on TV, and Michael Wilbon was almost as bad. And Michael Wilbon was just there because Magic wanted him there.
Like, how much better is your NBA coverage now that you just got rid of like all three annoying people? Because it's not like Simmons wasn't.
I have no idea what ESPN's NBA coverage looks like because I never watched.
It's like Rachel Nichols.
That woman switches networks like every 12 minutes. Though
I know she's great.
I don't know whose side she's on. Yeah. She's the stinger.
She's the same. Who else like switch sides a lot? She's like the giant. Just go. Who went back and forth in the Monday Night Wars?
Well, Rick Rude famously was on both shows the same night.
But didn't someone do it like a few times?
I'm trying to think.
I guess she's
Jarrett.
The Sean Waltman.
Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, she is. No,
Jeff Jarrett had two runs in both companies.
That's true.
Jeff Jarrett like was in WWF for 94 and 95, then WCW for 96, then back to WWF for 97, 98.
Can you imagine if Jeff Jarrett like just gone into being like a proper con man? How much more he could have made?
If he could have just, are you saying he would have been a gentleman grifter?
He could have been like a billionaire. Yeah, but like he would have been like the best ever. He
was
like
basically what
Island
his dad
man.
Was. It's just his, yeah. At the time the best scam going was owning a wrestling company. In West Tennessee.
What was I going to say, though?
We're totally
I think the NBA coverage, I know the jump is Rachel Nichols, Paul Pierce, and Jalen Rose.
Paul Pierce can't be interesting. There's no way.
He gets chippy with Jalen the other day.
Because Jalen told him he's being petty as fuck.
Petty. And then, like, Pierce dropped an 86 or something. Because that's what, you know, Kobe scored against him. I like that. The whole league, like, even the vets, like, everyone's getting chippy now, it feels like.
The NBA, like
last week, we know the fights.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, like, a thing of, like, the NBA as, like, a league really has, like, encouraged guys to, like, hey, you know, this ain't the NFL. Like, be yourselves. It's good. Mm. Which, you know, like, they're not
sitting
there going.
It's
going
to help. I mean, it's
going
to be the reason they become, you know, maybe number one in the next decade.
When, like, when Kevin Durant shit on that role player for that one team, and he was like, man, if he was really good, he wouldn't be saying that shit. Because if he was really good, he'd know how hard this is.
Yeah.
Like, he's just talking that shit because all he has to do is catch an alley-oop from Chris Paul. And I just started laughing. It's like, oh, man, you don't hear guys talking like that, though. And, like, nobody in Major League Baseball would ever call out, like, some mediocre role player. Because, like, in baseball, the mediocre role players are the ones who run the league.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the NBA, it's like, nah, I'm a star. I'm just going to tell it like it.
No, if you did it in the NFL, everyone would act like you just, you know, peed on Jesus or something.
You've given them bullet board material.
Bullet board material. Like a professional athlete needs to read a newspaper article to get mad.
Like the average football player can even read to begin with.
Yeah. They're so concussed.
Like, they can't. Like, they have the shakes when they sit down.
Yeah. Yeah, because they all have Parkinson's.
I mean, literally, the NFL is nothing but a bunch of guys with Parkinson's disorder.
That feels like a good transition, Dan, into the NFL. We had our games this week, this weekend with the Super Bowl, or the big game, excuse me, in 2 weeks. Does anyone care about the Super Bowl? This feels like maybe it could be a lower rated Super Bowl, even though it's probably exactly what the NFL wants.
Yeah, I mean, does anybody really think the Eagles got a shot?
I don't think so. And even if they go up, the Patriots are just going to come back and win. They do it every time. I saw it with my team. Jacksonville learned about it last week. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, the refs will just give them a bunch of calls to get them back in, if nothing else.
Yeah, and the Eagles will be too dumb to, like, do something to counteract it. Jacksonville last week, when you're running down the clock, you just run up the middle, first down every time. You don't even try to bounce it to the outside.
It would be super funny.
Or Cory Grant or something.
It would be super funny if they got, like, good Nick Foles. Like good Nick Foles showed up and just dropped, like, 8 touchdowns on them.
How odd. Like, if Nick Foles did beat Tom Brady.
And then they trade him because, like, that's not their starting quarterback, but he would suddenly have so much value. Like, you would have a Super
Bowl. Can you imagine, like, the Broncos just giving up their first round pick for Nick Foles?
Like, John Elway just gives up his anus. Like, come on, take me.
I need this.
I desperately need a quarterback.
Where else could Nick? What if Jacksonville could do something?
Hey, they've talked themselves into Blake Bortles now.
As they should. He's thrown 0 career playoff interceptions. So.
Who else needs a quarterback? Who needs a quarterback who's, like, halfway good?
Who's dumb?
Just needs
one? More importantly, who's dumb?
Carolina trades Cam Newton because we
Cam
need to
Newton
get more
to Philadelphia.
They've hired Norv Turner, so Norv Turner's going to be, I need a pocket passer.
Oh, is Norv Turner who they hired as their OC?
They didn't just hire Norv Turner. They hired his brother. They hired his son. I think they hired a third Turner.
Oh, no. This is going to be a disaster.
Yeah,
poor Cam. His whole career.
Everybody's going to be fired next year.
Yeah. No, and Turner will end up, like, a Turner, one of his kin will end up head coach. You can't get three Turners. You get those three, those master politicians around, man.
It's just going to be
a stab review. They're going to stab
review. Like, their offense next year is just going to be I formation, ISO draws to Christian McCaffrey running between the tackles and everyone going, oh my God, he's dead.
Yeah,
he's
and Cam Newton doing 4-step drops and getting sacked.
Everything's just going to be like a 9-step drop and then shocked that they can't protect Cam Newton. No shotgun.
And then P. Diddy will buy the team and they'll end up moving to, like, Richmond or something dumb in 20 years.
Charlotte is a much bigger city than Richmond.
I know, but, like, they'll just fuck it up that bad.
One of the things that
St. Louis. St. Louis will get their team again.
God, they get a third shot to not support a football team.
L.A. got them, and St. Louis is the L.A. of the Midwest.
Well, the thing about L.A., though, is that L.A. always supported the Rams.
Yeah.
Like, it never made sense for the Rams to move. The Raiders never got over in L.A. The Chargers obviously didn't get over. They quit after 2 years because the Rams were murdering them. But, like, the Rams always were popular in L.A. It's just every other team that's tried to go to L.A. where it's not worked. And then with St. Louis, nobody's ever been popular. They've had some of the most exciting teams in NFL history. Nobody watched it. Nobody cared. People in St. Louis don't
care. Yeah, it's so they just like baseball. They like their shitty baseball, and that's it. And maybe hockey? Do the Blues even sell out?
I don't know anything about hockey, so I don't want to speak out of turn.
Yeah, but just like they did have the funnest professional basketball team ever, the Spirit of St. Louis, who was like selling cocaine.
They're still paying those guys.
Yeah, like the most genius deal ever. Because it was like in for the rest of their lives, right? It was in perpetuity.
It's perpetuity. I think it goes to their heirs even when they die. Like, it's just forever.
Yeah, it's like the NBA. Fuck that one. They didn't know any better, to be fair.
They based it all on media rights, and the NBA had no idea that, like, that would be the way
they, like,
everybody owned
made
their
TV
money.
Company or something. They had, like, some weird insight or something into it.
Well, they just happened to. I mean, I think part of it was just like, well, if this thing does take off, we'll make a shit ton of money. And
yeah, and if not, oh, who gives a shit? Yeah.
If not, like, we have a worthless basketball team. Nobody won't, like, we couldn't sell tickets for people to come see.
And to be fair to the guys, like, running the NBA at the time, it's just like, well, you didn't know it was going to, like, this was in the finals, we're still tape delayed.
Yeah, like, they had no idea.
Like, you didn't know anything. It's like if Major League Soccer did that now. Maybe not even Major League, yeah. Something even lower, like lacrosse. And then, like, lacrosse takes off, like it will.
One day. When America finally learns to respect the white male bro.
Finally. Where did that bring us? Oh, is it so? Yeah, like I said, it's Patriots, Eagles, Dan. Are you even gonna go to a party for this game? I think I am. That's the only way I'm gonna watch the Super Bowl.
Get free food. It's a Sunday night, and I have to work Monday, so no, I will not be going to a party.
I think I'm gonna try to find a party, but just for the food, 100%.
You're just gonna, like, barge into somebody else's party
Yeah, like there's free booze and free food. I'm in. Like it's it goes with like the wedding principle where it's like, well, it's free. Like I just gotta bring like maybe one shitty thing. Like I gotta spend like $30 on
something. What potluck wedding have you been to?
No. Like you have to bring a gift.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
So, like it's been like $30 on a toaster or something, you know.
Well, here's the thing. This is something I discovered when one of my friends got married when we were all kind of young and nobody really had the money to buy good gifts. Cake pan, because it's something they'll use. And it's only like $20. And so,
or a frying pan.
You know,
really?
You go with the cake pan. You go with the cake because it's more legit than like you. See, the thing about the cake pan is it's never the cheapest thing on the list. You can't buy the cheapest thing on the list. Mm. Like, that's what people who don't know them buy them. Just, like, as a perfunctory, like, yeah, I got invited to this thing because I'm, like, your fourth cousin. But,
or, like, that's the thing they put on there for, like, the cousin they know that's, like, maybe kind of struggling, not doing so well. It's like,
yeah, sure.
Henry can afford the forks.
Henry. So. King Henry the cousin.
Yeah. King Henry Clampett. But you can afford the $8 for the forks, you know.
But you can go like the $35 for like the nice cake pan.
Yeah. Our Dan, here's the big tip for any gathering. Go to your local Walgreens. And you can pick up they get a whole section of As Seen on TV items. All these are great items, Dan.
If somebody got me a MyPillow, I think I'd enjoy
it. Yeah, those things are like $50. That's like the most expensive thing in Walgreens. It's like the MyPillow.
I think I have to get
the thing where you can boil the egg in the microwave.
Okay, those are terrible and never work.
There's no way that I don't believe it. Does the pasta microwave thing work? I think that does though.
No, there's no.
I was gifted one. I don't think
if you try that, like an Italian shows up at your house and throws like acid in your face.
It's like my favorite Twitter account. Italians getting mad at food.
I love that Twitter. Did you give that to me, or did I give that
I think
to
I
you?
Did. I spread the gospel as soon as I
that
saw
that is
it. Like,
literally
there was
my
one day
Twitter.
Where an Italian gets so mad, he just started, like, they slipped from English back into Italian.
Like in mid-sentence. Like, they just start typing in Italian.
It was like, this is a ridiculous Mavaron, you know.
My favorite thing every Italian does when they see Americans cooking Italian food improperly is go, Mamma mia! Why would you feel if we boiled hamburgers? You would be insulted. It's like, I wouldn't care. Like, that's weird.
Like, they get so mad about pizza, too. And it's like, Italian-style pizza sucks. Like,
yeah.
Is it American?
Immigrants.
Okay,
like,
American
Italian-American pizza, immigrants made pizza good. Yeah, Italians don't know how to make pizza.
Yeah. Here's the thing with pizza Italians. It's not a good enough dish to be served the way you do it. It's just not enough there to make it work. You got to kind of be, like, shittier to more fun with it. Like,
yeah, and don't put
like an
fucking
action movie.
Peas on your pizza. That's fucking weird. Don't try to tell
me
that that's
Italian
normal.
Pizza is like the first Fast and the Furious movies, where they didn't kind of realize what they were doing, and they were trying to be like a little too serious, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
American pizza is more like the latter sequels with the Rock.
And here's where I'm going to make everybody mad at me. Greeks make better pizza.
Ooh. They do. Greeks make them. You know who makes the best pizza?
Japs.
Mexicans.
Oh.
No. Because that's probably who's making your pizza at your local pizzeria. Little inside info. There.
Well, see, I where I live, it's all Greek people. And there's like four people who... there's like two people who work in there. And they're always like the dude who owns it. And then his like... his miserable son, Brocklin. and if you get the old man, your pizza's great. If Brocklin makes it, it's undercooked in the middle and falls apart. Like, instantly.
Yeah. But like I said, need a last-minute gift? Your Walgreens has got it, man.
I agree.
Got cards.
Last-minute gift? Bring a pizza.
Last-minute gift, you go to Walgreens. Bam. And, like, you're going to pay a little bit more, but that's for the convenience. Because Walgreens is getting your back, but they're taking a cut.
Hey, when it's a wedding gift, give that gag gift to condoms. Everybody loves that. Yeah. That's always funny.
Or
it's a lesbian
or
couple.
What you do is you promise, you know, like, if your family owns a condo or a lake house or something, or a vacation, anything, just promise that.
Hey, whenever you
free.
Want to come, and then nobody
yeah,
ever takes
as
you
long as you don't
own
it,
feel weird.
And then, yeah, and go beg the relative to let, you know, these people use it. That's the best way to get
that
around.
That doesn't work if yet. It doesn't necessarily work if you're going to a gay wedding and that relative who's rich and Southern is like, I don't appreciate that lifestyle choice.
Now, most rich and Southern people don't care about that kind of shit, though.
You probably haven't been inside a church lately, have you?
Okay, if they're not religious, not all Southerners are religious, Stan. You forget that.
The rich white fake ones religious. Tend to be.
If they fake it? I don't know. Well, rich people have very questionable morals where I grew up.
Yeah, but like they're public morals.
Like, there were multiple lesbians at the Christian school I attended, Dan.
Well, yeah, like, they went there, but, like, they're now not religious.
I think one still is.
But
I know there's one gay boy who worked
Episcopal
for the church.
Like, they go to Episcopal churches.
I knew a Primitive Baptist guy who turned out to be gay. I think we talked about
this. Yeah, we did talk. Because I lost my shit at Primitive Baptist.
This podcast, once again, slowly just breaking down in critiques of churches. But not, like, not on a theological
nerves.
Level, on a more, like, personal, detailed level. Like, man, the pews are really ugly at, you know, Jimmy Belk's Baptist. In Waukeshaw, North Carolina.
Hey, those...
That's
those
a city. Is that a city? Did I get that right?
What?
Waukeshaw?
Okay, that sounds like mountain shit. I don't know nothing about those people.
I think that's... I just made that up, but, like, you do have a bunch of towns with, like, weird Indian names.
Those sure.
Saskatchewan.
Okay, that's Canada.
Toronto.
That's definitely Canada.
Yeah. Calgary. I love Calgary, North Carolina.
Calgary, Alberta, Carolina.
I know. Alberta County is where it's from. But let's. I want to jump back.
You want to jump back to anything regarding sports?
Yeah, I want to take a hard turn back to the NBA really quick. Because I want to talk about this with you before we get to kind of the last thing we'll talk about. I want to talk Jason Kidd gets fired from the Bucks. Is this the moment? Like, the Bucks got to kind of nail the next coach now, right? Because this.
Oh yeah, because if you fuck
you
this
get
job,
your
if curve. You fuck this one up, then you don't get Giannis. Like Giannis.
Because like Kidd wasn't like we talked about this in the pre-show, but Kidd's like the type of guy like he's not gonna get you over the hump, but I think he's gonna get a young team ready. It's like when we talked about Luke Walton last week, you know, a couple weeks ago with the Lakers, and how I don't like a younger coach with a young team because he doesn't know how to drill fundamentals and just stuff they need to learn because you're dealing with a bunch of 22-year-olds, you know. So I think you kind of need a more old-school coach. Like, I think even Mark Jackson helped the Warriors and got them where they were. But sometimes it's just time to let a guy go when it's time to kind of click it to the next level. And it's not you see it outside of sports, too, Dan. Like, you see it with companies all the time. Startup hits big. They want to expand. They bring in a guy who can be the CEO or really run the business, the guy who has experience doing this longer term and gets you over the hump to being, you know, a $1 billion company. And that's kind of what the Bucks have to do now. They got to kind of nail their next hire, I think.
Yeah, I agree. There's different coaches who specialize with different types of rosters. That's definitely. I think a lot of young coaches do better with a veteran team because they themselves are veterans.
It just tends to flat because, like the vet, yeah. It
they
just,
still
it
have
works.
In their mind
I can't tell you why,
veteran.
But yeah. I think that works better, and I think the young guys just need an old guy to tell them what to do. Because, like I said, they're, you know, most guys coming to the league at 19. They kind of need a guy to be, when you're rebuilding, you almost need more of a college style coach. I think that's why Brad Stevens has worked so well in Boston.
Yeah, and the
you
other
look
thing,
at the way those guys play defense.
And the other thing know, about when you get a bunch of like 18, 19 year old guys, the thing that you always have to keep in mind is that. Their 1 year of college, they probably spent coaching, like, playing for somebody like Calipari, who doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground when it comes to, like, actual basketball.
Yeah. They're not, like, so, they don't have, like, Roy Williams most of the time. Because most guys who under Roy Williams don't turn out to be a good pro.
Well, yeah, Roy Williams has an interesting strategy of all, like, Roy Williams hates one-and-done players because he thinks they fuck up the continuity of a team. Yeah. So he intentionally, but he also wants to play athletic basketball. You know, he doesn't want, like, a bunch of, like, slow white dudes. So what he does is he intentionally recruits guys who literally don't know anything about basketball so that the NBA won't be interested in them for, like, at least 2 or 3 years and then just teaches them how to play.
And molds them into what he wants. And like I said, probably in 5 years, the whole game's going to change anyway, and Roy Williams will probably get a switch. Because I think the NBA will go more to, like, that baseball model.
Yeah, but the where you come out of high school or you go to school for 3 years.
Yeah, because especially once the D-League gets more developed because, like,
excuse me.
I think it's going to help a lot.
G League.
G League, excuse me. Once the G League, like, really gets more developed, I think it's going to really click and make, it's going to make a lot of sense for basketball, too, because, you know, sometimes an 18-year-old is better served playing, you know, in Iowa City, staying humble, but learning the game.
Well, the benefit of having the G League is that you can, you have control over their development, and you know that they're not learning bad habits from,
yeah, and they're learning your
from system. Some rich, from some guy like Rick Barnes or John Calipari, who are excellent recruiters who do not know anything about basketball.
Yeah. Like, or just, you know, you go to a, like, maybe there's a weird college that runs a triangle, you know, and then they come into your system and they got to completely kind of relearn what they're doing.
Yeah, well, like Syracuse with the, like, nobody who's, like, Boeheim has never produced a guy who could defend anybody because he runs the zone.
Yeah.
So all the guys who come out of Syracuse, like, literally have to be taught how defense works.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's, you know, I think we'll see that development further. But yeah, back to the Bucks, though, in this hire. They got to nail it. Some weird names floating around. The one that intrigues me the most, Jeff Van Gundy.
What's it going
to
take?
Been on the league a long time. Been on the league a long time, and people tend to think he doesn't understand the game as much anymore. But by all reports, he dumps it down a lot when he's on TV because ESPN tells him to. I mean, he gets where the NBA's going, is what I'm saying.
Like,
he's kind of hip with the scene.
I do think, and this is just a theory I have, and it's why I think John Gruden's going to do pretty good in the NFL. I think if you go from being on the court to being a play-by-play guy, I think those guys end up being a lot more savvy for, like, somebody who's been out of the game for a while than a studio guy. Because the studio guys don't actually have to watch anything. Like, they could just be sitting there goofing off. And as long as you have some sound bites to fill, like, your 5 minutes, you're fine. But if you've got to sit like there and watch a whole game and not sound like a moron, you have to keep up with what they're doing, whether you like it or not.
More importantly, Dan, you're talking to the, you know, you're talking to coaches off the record because, A, they trust you, you know. So you're learning about what they're trying to do and what's going on. Like, you know, similar to how, like, when Gruden comes in now, he's going to have that weird advantage where he's talked to Andy Reid, he's talked to these other guys where he kind of knows what they're thinking, what's in their mind, and it's going to help him when he's scheming.
Yeah.
You know, so Van Gundy, like, intrigues me greatly. I know, like, that's just, like, the one that interests me. My dark horse remains Becky Hammon, become the first female coach in NBA history. She's an assistant with the Spurs, by all means, very respected. Was considered for a front office job in Milwaukee, I think, last season. Was definitely interviewed. And you hear about Milwaukee's, like, thinking to be a little more diverse. They're a little more progressive than Milwaukee, how they run that franchise. So maybe Becky Hammon's a name you're going to hear float out there.
I mean, that would be very, very, I think that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, because if there's any sport that's going to have a female head coach, it'll definitely be...
Well, it'll definitely be basketball because that's the sport that women also play at a high level.
Yeah, and it translates well,
like
especially team
like, they're not
basketball.
Playing... Like, it's not like... Like, there's such massive differences between softball and baseball.
Yeah.
That, like, if you were, like, a great softball coach, I don't know if you could ever coach baseball because it's too different. Yeah. And obviously, there's, like, women don't play football. So, like, you know, if you're ever going to get women coaching men, it's going to be soccer or basketball.
Yeah, soccer, basketball, and probably not hockey because of the weird macho culture. You think of that in the NBA.
Do women play hockey? Definitely... Is there any women's hockey teams?
Well, there's, I guess, in the Olympics. I guess not really, yeah. I thought Russia had a league or something weird, but I don't know if they...
Russia doesn't count. They just pump a bunch of people full of testosterone and send them out there.
They don't even count as ladies in Russia. But yeah, I think this would be the sport where you would, like you said, the games tend to translate the best. But I don't, this situation doesn't, like, it almost lines up when you've got a guy like Gannis there, like, ready to kind of take the leap and be a top five NBA player, an MVP candidate, you know. I don't think he'd take the risk on Becky Hammon. It's just not kind of worth the extra headache there. I think you got to kind of play it safe, but be smart at the same time. I would like to almost see, like, Luke Walton, maybe. Stumble into the Milwaukee job.
He just jumps before he's pushed out of L.A.?
Yeah, like everyone says, trade ball to Milwaukee. Maybe Luke jumps to Milwaukee. I mean, you can probably win go to the finals probably a lot quicker with Milwaukee than you can with L.A., unless they get LeBron.
Wait, just by virtue of being the East. Wait, LeBron's not going to Milwaukee.
No, but I'm saying if LeBron goes to L.A., then you're dealing with another headache on top of that. It can probably going to get fired if they move Walton.
LeBron has either gotten or tried to get every coach he's ever played for fired.
Yeah, because more likely that would be Fizdale, would be the guy LeBron wants. From the Heat, you know, I think you trust him by all means. That'd probably be the guy they got. But yeah, I'm really intrigued to see who takes this Bucks shot. We won't know until next season, but I'm excited to see what happens with this team, though. Because this could be, you know, our next kind of Warriors team that kind of comes out of nowhere that you wouldn't, that the average fan may not expect. It dominates the league. So, some of my thoughts on that, Dan.
I agree with them. I agree with all of your thoughts.
Thank you. Let's move on to our last topic. Talking Arizona football, Dan. We finally got to it. We're going to talk Sumlin to Arizona. What does this mean for Arizona football?
Well, short term, it means they're keeping Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Because Khalil Mack was
Tate.
Who did I say? Khalil Mack's the guy who used to be who's a defensive end.
Yeah, it was defensive end
for the Rams. Yeah, Khalil Tate. They're going to be keeping Khalil Tate because you know, he made it quite clear I didn't come to Arizona to run the option.
Yeah, and I don't blame him because like. Tate probably has NFL dreams. Whether those are valid or not is a discussion for another day, but he has them, and not really going to make the NFL as an option quarterback.
I mean, I don't begrudge him. What I begrudge is Arizona thinking that should matter. Like, that they should base their coaching decision off of one player.
On a guy who's going to be there maybe 2 years, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, okay, so you hire another spread coach who will help him, you know, do what he wants to do. All right, so when he's gone, then what? Because you've done spread. Like, Arizona had an air raid guy before Rich Rodriguez. Rich Rodriguez was a spread guy. How well, like, none of this has really turned out. Like, Arizona has never really been able to do more than, like, 9 wins. So yeah. Why not go some way else and just do what he wants to do? That irritated me that they would like pull the plug because like you're gonna lose players off of this team. This team's not good enough to win anything, so why do you care?
Yeah, you're not gonna be a top spot for recruits on offense year in and year out if you're Arizona.
Yeah.
No matter what offense you're
in. And then the other thing that irritates me is that, you know, he brought Noel Mazzoni with him. And it's like Noel Mazzoni has never coached a running quarterback well. Ever. And so it's like, all right, yeah, you didn't want to run the option. How are you going to, like, throw in, like, swing passes? Yeah. Like, how well is that going to turn out for you? Like, there's just a lot of this that I don't really like the process they went by. I don't like their thought process on a lot of this. And I don't think Kevin Sutherland's going to have a lot of success there. But I
almost disagree. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, Herm Edwards is going to be one of the biggest flops in the history of college football.
Yeah.
So he might end up being pretty good for at least a couple of years.
Because here's your advantage here if you're Arizona. I mean, someone's not a bad coach by any means. Like, you probably should have stayed at A&M because A&M's not what they think they are. maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll pull a Georgia. Who knows? But, yeah, like, the advantage there in the Pac-12 South right now. We don't know. It was UCLA's in the South, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't know about UCLA. We don't know what's going to happen there for sure. Could be a bust. We don't know for sure. Like you said, Arizona State definitely looks like a disaster. Utah looks like they're on the downslope. Colorado looks like that they're just going to be a team that maybe wins 8 games every once in a while.
Well, yeah, Colorado and UCLA and Utah just both have the issues of, I'm not sure what, their ceiling is probably 10 wins.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's going to be like every 4 years when they get like the right senior class.
Like,
so, like, and you got USC who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, USC USC has all the potential, and like, they have all the facilities, they have all the infrastructure, they have all the infrastructure in the world to be a dominating team. They just intentionally choose to, like, pick sorry coaches and be inferior to what they could be.
Yeah, so you got USC, so this is a division for Arizona that you could maybe win, maybe 2 times every 10 years or so. Maybe 4 if you have a good decade. It's pretty good for Arizona football. I think someone could accomplish that.
Maybe.
Something he probably could have done at A&M if he was in the East.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing I come back to, and the reason why I don't think he's going to work there, is I don't think a guy who's... Like, when you look at Kevin Sumlin and what his big strengths as a coach are, his biggest strengths are recruiting. And I don't think a recruiting guy is ever going to win you a whole lot at Arizona, because it's not a destination. Like, Tucson's the middle of nowhere.
But it can get you guys who are pretty dumb.
And it's a basketball school.
You have that
school.
Advantage at Arizona.
It's a basketball school, and Tucson isn't, like, the thing that why everybody always calls Arizona State a sleeping giant is because, like, Tempe is a fun place to go to college.
Yeah.
Tucson isn't. Like, not in the same way.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't understand why they didn't go with Ken Niumatalolo, and I'm mad they didn't. And I'm going to be mad about that for a long time.
Well, I don't hate the hire, because, like you said, Arizona is a basketball school. If you win the division 4 times out of every 10, 15 years, it's pretty damn good. I think UNC and Duke would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, Duke especially.
UNC, yeah, I think Sumlin, yeah. And Sumlin's good enough where he can pull that off at Arizona. If that makes sense, without that pressure there.
I
like the hire. I don't say they're going to win a title or anything, but they might win a Pac-12 if they keep the course for the next 5-6 years. You never know.
Yeah.
It's not the best conference, obviously, in the world.
And I think Tucson's not the easiest place to recruit.
It was
to.
The best fit for Sumlin to rebound, at the very least, because then you go out and you win the division.
I would
next
say Arizona
year.
State was the place that
he wanted
to go to, and they should have wanted him.
But this was the best possible outcome.
For whatever reason, Arizona State decided to light the program on fire.
Yeah. Well, for comedy.
Did you see Herm Edwards' quote this week?
No.
He said, yeah, recruiting. It's something. Like, the thing that's crazy about it is, like, it's almost like you got to recruit the parents more than the kid. It's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, Herm.
It's going to be so much fun.
Like, a 12-year-old knows that's what recruiting is. Like, everybody knows that that's the, like, you didn't realize you had to talk to mamas? Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's going to be great. I think this is all somehow, like, a big fraud scam. Like, maybe this isn't really Herm Edwards, Dan. And it's like some weird body double, and someone murdered him like 2 years ago. Like whenever he disappeared from ESPN, maybe he was murdered. This is a body double situation here. And like the Arizona AD's involved. He's going to get caught up in the murder. So he does. This is like a weird plot to muck, basically, is what's going on in Arizona State. Some weird Murder, She Wrote scenario is happening. That's my prediction for Arizona State over the next 2 years. Something weird's going to happen there. Maybe not as weird as what I said, but something weird's going on there. I'm not sure what.
I'm not. Has Arizona State hired an offensive coordinator yet?
I don't think so. I don't keep up with Arizona State, but.
Oh, did you see where, one last college football tidbit? Did you see where my boy ended up?
Canada? Where?
Yeah, he ended up in Maryland. And Maryland is low-key the best run program in Power 5. It's just they're hopeless because they're Maryland and they're in the Big Ten East. But they do everything right in a really smart way.
Maryland didn't have the worst year. Well, they started off strong.
Well, they started off strong and then, like, every quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, they were playing a walk-on at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But, like, DJ Durkin, when they hired him as a head coach, they went and they found, oh, this guy was a great coordinator with Florida. He was a great coordinator in 1 year with Michigan. Let's hire him. And it's like, well, yeah, that's smart. Like, that's if you're Maryland, like, that's the kind of guys you go find, because, like, you're probably not going to do any better.
No, like, that's what you have to do, especially when you're kind of, like, low-key rebuilding an entire football program like Maryland had to do.
It's not even rebuilding. Like, you're building it. Like, this thing hasn't existed in, 30 years.
Yeah, you had a fridge there. You moved the fridge. Like, that was kind of what you were. But you get to change the culture. And that means, like, making smarter decisions like that, making good hires, taking advantage of, okay, Canada didn't work at LSU, it's going to work great for us in Maryland, because we don't have the expectations LSU has right now.
Yeah, and we can build our system, yeah.
He can coach up our assistants, he makes us better.
Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff.
Our head coach is a defensive mastermind who isn't really, like, interested in the details of how his offense works as long as it scores points.
No, and let's take a guy who's coached in this area, too, because you're not in the ACC, but you are recruiting ACC country if you're Maryland. Yeah.
Well, he's coached
the guy who knows.
Yeah, he's coached his whole career in either the Big Ten's area or in the ACC.
Yeah, so this guy who knows the area, he knows coaches, he has connections. So that's not even going to just help you right now. It's going to help you in the long term. It's going to have other high school coaches come in and trust you more if you're Maryland.
And isn't Maryland basically Big Ten Pitt? Like, basically?
Yeah.
Like, as a longtime ACC fan, if, like, the ACC just traded Pitt to the Big Ten to get Maryland back, I'd take that.
I guess Pitt technically is a better basketball program.
I don't think. I mean, maybe right Maryland, now. Maryland's got
maybe
title,
right
now,
but
though.
It is similar, like, a school that you would think would have a better basketball program, but they never do. But they're
well,
kind of known for basketball.
Maryland was great, like, 15 years ago.
And yeah, who's the guy?
Gary Williams was the coach, the sweaty
guy. Who's the point guard, though?
That team had two. They had Juan Dixon and Steve Blake.
Juan Dixon and Steve, that's right.
They had the double point guard attack.
Both former Trailblazers, I think. Yeah. I wonder if any team ever matched them up, hoping for that Maryland.
And who is the big guy? Lonnie Wright? Is that familiar? Lonnie Baxter.
That's right.
I think it was Lonnie Baxter.
Great team.
Good times. Good team.
That was around the time, too, Maryland had, like, the decent football team, right?
Yeah. Like, that's actually, like, a big, like, their athletic director thought, well, I figured it out. We're going to be great forever now. And she spent, like, all this money on construction projects, like building a new basketball stadium, doing football renovations. And then the basketball team sort of started trending downward. Like, they didn't fall apart, but they were not, like, they did not last as a national title contender very long.
Yeah.
And then the football team went from, like, winning the ACC to, like, 7 wins. And so, like, all of that, like, okay, we're going to make so much money off of ticket sales and everything to pay for all this, suddenly disappeared, and Maryland ended up, like, $70 billion in debt.
And then you open the
Big
Ten.
Which is the reason why they're in the Big Ten.
Why is Pitt... I still hate that Pitt's not in the Big Ten. Pitt should be in the Big Ten. Maryland
Penn State blocked them. Penn State specifically blocked them.
Did you really listen to Penn State?
And the reason why Penn State blocked them is because Penn State originally didn't want to join the Big Ten. They wanted to join the Big East, and Pitt blocked them out of the Big East. Which is the reason Pitt and Penn State didn't play each other in football for like 25 years, because Joe Paterno was like, over my dead body, are we ever playing them? Fuck them. I hate them.
Well, and look how things turned out.
And look how that turned out for you.
Yeah. I want to talk about this before we get out of here, the Michigan State scandal. You've read about it. There's no need to dump in. Obviously, he's an awful, horrible monster. But the great dramatic judge today ripping up the letter. Did you see that, Dan?
Yeah.
That was some theatrics right there.
Yes.
So she won't. Slay queen. Beyonce.gif.
Slay, yes.
How's this going to hurt Michigan State? It's going to hurt Michigan State in football. I don't think the football program is connected, really.
Yeah, the revenue sports don't seem to have really any connection to this at all.
This seems to be like, it's going to blow back somehow, I would imagine.
Well, the big thing is that it seems like the athletic director will be gone. See, everybody involved in that gymnastics scandals is like been incredibly delusional. Because like the USA Gymnastics were like going, no, we're not going to like get rid of anybody. And then the USOC, like the big people in charge of everything, basically threatened to decommission them and like end the USA Gymnastics.
Yeah, I'm so confused. Like there must be more. It must be like the Sandusky thing where clearly this goes deeper. But we'll never find out.
Oh, yeah.
Because the people are too powerful.
I think it just comes down to, like, for years, like, people in powerful positions in USA Gymnastics and Michigan State just, like, being told things and going, eh, that can't be true.
No, and, like, here's what I didn't get the most out of the stand. Like, maybe it's just me being, like, dumb and naive about the world in my old age. I thought like women would be in charge of women. Why
they are.
Many men?
They are.
I mean, there was the president,
like,
there's most,
like Mary Lou
the doctor
Retton
was
like,
a man.
America's like sweetheart, Mary Lou Retton, was like backing the USA Gymnastics people.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. And then like what happened
what about
is
Carrie
like,
Strug?
And it happens to be a man who's in charge of the USOC. Was like, we're gonna get rid of gymnastics and just make some other organization up, and all like. We'll destroy this whole organization if you don't all resign.
Yeah, I don't understand the. I guess maybe though, Dan. Maybe the issue is women aren't as good as men at running stuff.
I think it comes down to just like
president
pure
of Michigan State woman.
I think it comes down to just like pure ass ageism and like a combination, obviously, of sexism. Like, oh, it's just some girl. What the fuck does she know? But like, just like a bunch of like old ass people going, oh, you know, these young people. They're always complaining.
Or, you know, women who accepted that kind of culture going on. You know, where it's just like, well, this is how you earn your stripes, honey. Like, they're so bad.
You got to let the creep finger you. Yeah. Otherwise.
This is just how it works. You know, like, welcome to the... Like, that kind of attitude where if they had to reject it, then they have to deal with a lot of emotional baggage maybe they couldn't deal with.
And I think a lot of it is just, like, a bunch of, like, ivory tower dipshits who cannot handle, like, don't you know the embarrassment you're causing us?
Yeah.
Like, that's all they care about.
Like, your typical, like, rich guarded fan, like, yeah, definitely, for sure. It's definitely, like, one of those issues you see when there's a lot of money and prestige involved, or stuff that wouldn't slide middle class or lower income area.
That Michigan State, the dude, though, where he went, we had our trustee meeting, and I swear, we only talked about this thing for 10 minutes because there's so much more going on at this university than this Nassar thing. They're going to write that on that fucker's tombstone, this Nassar thing.
And they don't even want to fire the president because she's good at raising money.
Yeah.
That was like, everyone.
Yeah, well, so, like, a bunch of, like, rich people going, nah, you're not going to tell us what to do. But what's fascinating is that, like, obviously, you know, we're in an election year. And Michigan is a pretty divided state, Republican and Democrat. I think it's majority Democrat in the House, but they have a Republican governor.
Yeah. And, like, a Republican senator or something.
Yeah, they got a Republican senator, and they voted for Trump. And, you know, and the Romney family, I think, used to be there, like, as politicians in Michigan. But, like every Republican and Democrat in the state of Michigan is lining up to say, yeah, we'll just, like, pull all money for Michigan State. Like, they won't get any state money unless they fire all these people. Which, they definitely should.
But no, it's so similar to, like, kind of how Penn State handled the situation. But Monty Jones pointed out something today I thought was interesting, Dan. Or my boy. Not because you're a boy.
He did a long time radio show in my state. I don't know about you, but we've been supporting Bomani much longer.
Well, he's from Atlanta.
Well, he had to go to North Carolina to become famous.
he said, like, it's weird how he thinks it's because, like, girls are involved. There's less outrage to this than there was, like, with the Penn State scandal.
I definitely agree with that.
I agree 100%. Because, like, someone quoted him and said, well, should it be that way? And he said, it ain't the way it should be, it's the way it is. You know, and that Bomani kind of smartass, like, fuck you, I know how things should be. That's not what I'm talking about.
The undercurrent with, like, anybody who ever, like, comes back at Bomani is, yeah, I get that, you dumbass. You're not smarter than me.
I'm saying this is the way it's perceived. I'm with Bomani on that, on the big perception is reality thing. I know, like, people get mad about that statement, because it's not true when you're judging yourself or whatever. But, like, the reality is, how you're perceived is how you're treated. Like, that is reality. If people think you're dumb, then you kind of are dumb until you prove otherwise.
Yeah.
So I get that's always like kind of Bomani's perspective that people don't get, but he's right. Perception is reality, and the perception I think with this is like, well, they're girls. That's okay. This
like, well, yeah, there's always going to be creeps like molesting girls, but oh, this guy sodomized boys.
I mean, but like in reality, like this is a guy like fingering 8-year-old. Like, it's not like he was, like, hitting on 17-year-olds. Like, not that that's okay, but maybe more of a gray area, you could argue.
Europeans would. Europeans yeah, definitely
Alabamians.
Would. People in France, like, you
people,
know.
People in Paris, France. People in Rome, Georgia would argue very similar things. But there are states age consent 17. Well, that's, you know, whatever. That's a debate for another day.
We're not having that debate. I'm just going to tell you.
We're not. No, I think that's weird. Like, if you don't hit on 17, just let him be like 20. Or don't hit on anyone who can't drink.
If you're able to drink and you're hitting on somebody who can't drink,
hit on a 21-year-old. What are you doing, fucking a pedophile? Only a, you know,
a 16. Okay, a 16-year-old with a 16-year-old is not weird.
That's well, if you're a boy, you should always try to hook up with older girls. I'll be my. I forgot.
you've lost your own train of thought.
You were
saying like this is like 8-year-olds in some.
Yeah,
cases.
These are like girls who haven't hit puberty yet. Like you can't even make like your typical like libertarian fedora wearing argument about.
And he was like making homemade child porn.
Yeah, It's fucked up.
That he could then distribute to other creeps.
Michigan State will suffer for a while, but I don't think the football or basketball teams are going to hurt.
And I don't really care if it does. Like, it's not like, okay, something that has absolutely zero to do with football should not. I mean, it's a, this university should be, like, completely purged of its leadership.
It's not like, NCAA used this cop-out with Sandusky, I thought, a little bit with Penn State.
Where it's like the culture, this, like.
Yeah, but this is more so, like, not in their jurisdiction. It's nothing to do with sports, really.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, why anybody wants the NCAA to, like, ride in on a horse and try to fix this. Odds are they will make it worse.
No, the only people, and, like, I think it's similar with the Big Ten thing, I mean, with the Penn State thing, the people who should have handled it, the Big Ten Conference itself. Because at some point, the Big Ten's got to take a look around and go, this is our second pedophile scandal in two of our biggest schools.
Yeah.
Let's maybe take stock of A, who we're letting in, and B, if this happens again, are we going to kick someone out of this conference finally? For making us look bad.
I mean, there has to be some kind of consequence. See, my thing with things like this, institutional failures, is that you have to make the consequences for this. Like, what happens is people in high-ranking positions go, if this gets out, our reputation will be ruined. You have to make the consequence on the other side. Like, well, yeah, but if I get caught, like, if I'm involved in this, it gets so much worse.
Yeah, if this institution's caught covering this up, we're going to lose billions. So like, that's what the Big Ten should say. Because the punishment for Penn State, you know, scholarships, all that, the real punishment should have been the Big Ten kicked them out. Because not only would that have sent a message to not do any kind of bullshit like that again if you're a member of our conference, but it would have sent a message. I don't think any other conference would have really touched Penn State. Maybe the American after like 5 years.
It would have been like the destruction of Penn State as we know.
It is what Penn State deserved.
I mean, Baylor, I don't know why Big 12 didn't consider that stronger with Baylor.
And Baylor should have been kicked off. And that needs to be the new thing. Stop getting mad at the NCAA for not doing enough, like overreaching their bounds. Get mad at the conferences. Because end of the day, that's who has the most power with these schools, you know? So if I'm the Big Ten right now, I need to take a hard look in the mirror and go, this happens again.
Maybe we got to
kick the school out.
What have we done as a culture, as a organization, as a union of different schools? What have we done where this has now happened twice?
Yeah. And more importantly, if you can't because of legal reasons, start putting in the contract. Because you got to renew your membership or something like that with Commons, right? It's not just in perpetuity, right?
I'm pretty sure it's in perpetuity.
Oh, it is? Okay. Well, you got to figure something out here. Like, maybe you get the other schools to agree, too. If you get caught doing this shit, you're out.
Something has to be done.
You got to find a solution. And, you know, as we, you know, as TV and the internet expands, maybe we'll see some conferences merge. Maybe that's something you think about. Or if we see, you know, super conferences in the future, which some people think we may, that's something to start thinking about. You let UCF into the Big 12, you say, hey, UCF, you get caught, you know, covering up rape, anything that's considered, you know, a moral kind of question, and covering up long term for a big deal, you're out. And maybe that's what you got to start doing with these younger schools that start coming in, too.
And this is another thing. Like, we get back to, like, there's people who always complain about this new culture on campuses of, like, you know, going after sexual assault and maybe, like, oh, they're not making fair judgments. They're throwing. This is what the actual culture at colleges is. It's just sweep this under the rug because we don't want to be known as the rape school. So let's not report these rapes. Let's not be honest about, you know, and try to root out bad things, because if we admit there's bad things, then we've admitted something like this happened here. So let's just, like, make this go away.
Yeah, this is what people are speaking to, not like the girl who cries, the one girl out of, you know, 100,000 that cries wolf and, you know, kind of hurts someone's life. We're talking about, like, attacking these institutions that cover this shit up. And this isn't even like a girl getting taken advantage of when she made decisions to drink or whatever kind of stupid argument you want to make for that. These are children, homie. You know?
These are people going to a doctor. And you don't want to play like that respectability politics thing. Like,
That's bullshit. Yeah. But like, even you with that argument can't make. This is what these systems are covering up. This is what people are talking about going after. Yeah. When they say we've got to change these systems and change the culture. It's not about just getting rid of frat parties. It's about getting these people in the suits understand that there have to be some real consequences for what you do. It's affecting people's
lives. Yeah, it's about getting people in suits to understand that, like, there is something other than your next fundraising. Like, yeah. What we have done is we have turned colleges and the running of colleges over to a bunch of people who literally don't know or care about anything that a university's supposed mission is supposed to be.
They don't care
and
about
it's literally just like yeah. money.
Yeah.
And that's why your tuition is $1 billion, because every time there's a thing, it's like, well, let's just raise tuition. They can get loans anyway. Like, that's yeah. that's why they don't care that they
no,
let,
some
that
of
they destroy
the guys giving the loans.
Yeah.
Man. We want to, you know, we want to get into the conspiracy. I don't even know if it's a conspiracy to think that.
Like, people who are in charge of colleges, their number one instinct is, how can we make some more money?
Yeah. Instead of how can we better, like, what they say in the commercial. How can we better serve? You see these, you know, commercials for Michigan.
The people, and you can see this happening at Michigan State. Who are the only people whose voice isn't being listened to? The students and faculty at Michigan State. Because the yeah. students and faculty at Michigan State are speaking with one word. Everybody involved in this needs to be gone. And yeah. they're not being given their voice because the money people and the trustees say it's, you know, you don't really understand. This Simon woman, she's very important. You just don't understand.
Yeah. So this could be a hell of a lot of trouble for Michigan State. And Manny, you may not see it manifest itself in sports necessarily. It could be, I mean, like I said, if you start defunding that school, there's going to be a lot of trouble. Doesn't matter how much money she can raise, the government ain't giving you any money.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of the things that's really pathetic about our modern day is the lack of shame powerful people have in this day and age. Because basically the destruction of local media has meant that they don't have to wake up in the morning to, like, a local newspaper that everybody in town reads saying they're an utter piece of shit. It's all, like, national stuff that locals may not even be, like, maybe not
or
even
can
aware of.
Poo-poo away is fake news or
yeah.
whatever.
So, like,
the wrong letters reported it. Basically.
Yeah. So, like, you can just ignore anything and just go about your life going, well, like,
well, you
it's
saw the letter
awful.
He wrote that the judge tore up. Like, that was where you took no responsibility whatsoever.
He's just like, ugh. Just because you get caught with a little bit of child porn, all of a sudden they want to hang you.
That was literally the tone of the letter.
He was like, look, I didn't do any of this bad stuff. I just had a little bit of kid porn.
Yeah, and have fun getting beat up in prison.
What a piece of shit.
What a good guy. So that's probably our fuck you of the week to the whole Michigan State.
Everyone
staff.
Involved in the higher echelons of power at Michigan State.
Yeah. And you know what? And a keep going good job to Michigan State faculty and students. Keep it up.
Yeah. Keep up the pressure.
Yeah, keep up the pressure. Stay mad. But don't like get defensive about it. Because, yeah, people are going to unfairly bash you. You need to prove why you're not associated with that. And. Yeah. What Michigan State really is all about.
Yeah.
If you're a Michigan State person. And it's not that, and you prove that by getting these people out, not accepting this. So if you, I know you listen, Jeremy Hill. Or Jermail Hill?
Jermail Hill.
I know you listen. We're good friends. Do that. Get these people out. Use your voice. Maybe do some good instead of attacking our poor president. Has he even been in the news? Like, has there been, like, any Trump news lately, or am I just officially just ignoring it somehow?
Today, well, this is off the air conversations, but today he said he'd be in favor of, he couched the language and refused to use the term, but basically he endorsed a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers.
And so, I saw that.
And
yeah.
so Breitbart...
But it's just like the bullshit, like the Dreamer bullshit.
But Breitbart called him Amnesty Don. Which, I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to Breitbart now that Bannon's not there.
Why would you? Without Bannon's sweet words, what's the point? What's the point of life without Steve Bannon?
Really? Oh my god, so apparently Trump came out in support of a pathway to citizenship and his own staff didn't know, so now they're, like, grabbing their ass.
Yeah, they have to, like, do their whole strategy based on how he tweets. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful world we live in. But Dan, that's why I'm ignoring it. I'm just going to dive in right into the NBA. Because that's where...
Best way to do it. Best way to do it.
Fuck it. I can't change anything. So who cares? And that's probably what they want.
Well, I'm going to run for my school board. That's go. I love that on Twitter. Everybody always goes, "Hey, you know, if you don't like the way things are, run for your school board." Like, so now a bunch of like childless libs are now going to run for school board in their district.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
But on that note, on that excellent note, and with our fuck yous of the week notched and noted,
and to the queen again, fuck her.
And fuck you, queen. Like, let's make that our other tagline. And, yeah. And by the way, fuck you, queen of England.
Fuck the queen.
Fuck the queen and play the music, Jason.